Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet for a little bit.
You are bigger than what people say. Jehovah, you're bigger than. You are bigger than what people say. Jehovah, bigger than what. I know you are good. I said you are kind. You are bigger than what people say. I know you are good. I said you are kind. You're bigger than what people say.
You are greater than what people know. Jehovah, you're greater than what people say.
You are bigger than what people say, Jehovah.
You're bigger than what people say.
I found out you are good. I know you are kind. You are bigger than what people say. I said you are good. I know you are kind. You are bigger than what people say.
You are greater than what people say. Jehovah, you're greater than what people say.
Hey, you're greater than what people say. Jehovah, you're greater than what people say. I have found out that you are good. I said you are kind. You are greater than what people say. Everybody say you are good. You are kind, you are greater than what. Hey, everybody say you are good. You are kind, you are greater. One more time. Everybody say, hey, hey, you are good. You are kind, you are greater than what.
Father, we thank you. We can't thank you enough if we spent all day doing that. Thank you for 25 years of SGA, many years before. Thank you for even this weekend. Thank you for speaking to us, blessing us with your glory, your presence, your power. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all the great testimonies and even much more that we couldn't take. Indeed, we ascribe all the glory to you, all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name. Thank you for speaking to us one more time this morning, making your word come accurately to us. And thank you because your hand is upon us for singleness of heart to obey everything that you say to us, to act in line with your word, that all the glory might be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have your seats and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Agbada means that I should be more composed this morning, and I would behave myself. Amen. In fact, the weight of it will control me a little bit more. Hallelujah. And I'll try to just read and go through. But let's appreciate the leadership of SGA Badon, you know, for all of these years. Basically, from about 2009, I have spent more time in Lagos than I've been here. So in all of those years, we've had particularly Pastor BJ and his wife. We have, of course, Dr. and Miss, and what Professor Mrs. Fayeun. We have the leadership of the IK, Sister Esther, you know, just amazing leadership, hallelujah, that have ensured that we had a church that is the type that God has in mind. Can I have an amen? And we appreciate them. I appreciate you all. I celebrate you. Thank you for obeying God, amen, and doing it with integrity, hallelujah. And sincerity of heart. Amen. Good. So, not much time is left this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. We've read that first day. We've read it in full today, the whole chapter. And that gives us context. So it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Well, before I go on also, let me appreciate he's here this morning. Pastor BJ compelled him to be here. The resident pastor is here in Lagos. Pastor Muiwa Dorowoji. Amen. So in all of these days, I've been speaking, basically. I have been on the subject I started off 2 days ago, on the subject of being certain of the glory of God. Pastor BJ gave us a very comprehensive introduction. Pastor K, gave us a very comprehensive overview, yesterday. And I want to continue, and some of what I'm saying will be like, again, putting together some of the pieces that they have said, so you might hear things being repeated. But then Paul was writing in Philippians chapter 3, he said, for me to write the same things to you, it is not burdensome. So for me to repeat myself is not a burden. He said, but for you it is profitable. So when there's a repetition, it's because God wants you to grab something. It means that there are things in there, certain scriptures and all that, that God is speaking about, and he's repeating himself because he wants you to hear it loud and clear, and he wants it buried in your heart, that this is what he's saying to you now. Can I have an amen? So basically, we've been saying, first and foremost, to settle it, he says this in the scripture here, that there's a transformation from glory to glory, and it says we all, meaning that this is available to everybody. In context, like I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he was comparing to Moses, basically was comparing to the Old Testament, and he was saying that if under the Old Testament they experienced God's glory, how much more under the New Testament we all will experience or can experience God's glory. So if there was any glory of any sort of God under the new covenant, and the way I like to interpret that in the Bible is that every time I read something in the Old Testament, and I see God do something nice and good and amazing for them, I tell myself that much more than that is available to me. Because I'm under a better covenant, the Bible says, based upon better promises. Can I have an amen? That's in the book of Hebrews. It says this is a better covenant that is based upon better promises. Can I hear you say better? But basically, there are certain things many times that we'll say in the body of Christ, and if we are a stalite Christian, there are certain Christianese that we speak. But when we say that, we assume everybody knows what we are saying. So one of them is glory of God. We say, oh, glory, glory, the glory of God. And we've had some teachings along that line. But basically, all it is everything that God is. Everything that God is. So in simple terms, when he's saying that we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, it means that we get all of God. There's a transformation of our lives as we walk with God, and it happens in phases. We keep changing and changing and changing, experiencing everything that God is. That's why also that the word you will find in the Bible that is used in the Hebrew many times for glory is the word heavy, because all of what God is must be heavy. Amen. So he's saying that everything, that is his grace, his goodness, and we've referred to Exodus chapter 33, where Moses was praying in verse 18, and he said to God, he said, show me your glory. And then verse 19, God replied him, he said, I will make all of my goodness to pass before you. So the answer is, my glory is all of my goodness. Can I hear you say all of his goodness? So God wants us to be certain that his glory is your future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That his glory belongs to you. His glory is yours. He wants you not to have a doubt about the kind of life that he has in mind for you. I like that referral and testimony. I think that was Sister Bimbo talking about Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, where God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. I always like to remind people, because if you study the Bible, many times for you to get the juice, the onion, the pepper, and the tomato of the scripture, and soak it all and enjoy all of its nutrition, many times you need to consider the context of that scripture. And the context of that scripture is that the context means what was happening around then, that God was saying or making that promise in Jeremiah 29:11, and saying, I know, God was saying, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And the context of that was that they were in slavery. So things were not working. Things were as bad as they could be. And God was speaking to them and reassuring them that, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And speaking about thoughts, if you go to Psalm 115 and verse 12, let's open our Bible. We'll read a little bit. I'm going to try to stick with the notes a little bit so that we will get something. So talking about the thoughts, because when God says, I am thinking about you, his thoughts are very good. Can I hear you say very good? He said those thoughts are to give you a hope and a future. But I like this one in Psalm 115 verse 12. He said, the Lord has been mindful of us. The Lord has been mindful of us. The word mindful just means his mind is full. So the Lord has been mindful of us. His mind is full of us. Can I hear you say, God's mind is full of me? He said he will bless us. I like that. Are you hearing me? He said he will bless us. Listen, I didn't stop my English classes. You know, so I went to school, I attended English class, and when there is semicolon, because in this Bible here, it has a semicolon. So when it says the Lord has been mindful of us, what follows is a semicolon. It means that everything that is coming after is related to what he has just said now. So the Lord has been, his mind is full of us, and what will happen because his mind is full of us, he said he will bless us. Because he's thinking about you, he will bless you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said he will bless the house of Israel, he will bless the house of Aaron, he will bless. So in case you are one of those who say that's Israel. He said no. In verse 13, he said he will bless those who fear the Lord. Are you one of them? Please look at your neighbor and say, are you one of us? He said he will bless those who fear the Lord, and he said even both small and great. When he said, hey, me, I'm not even like Pastor BJ, he said he will bless you, small and great. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, and verse 14, we'll still refer to that later. He said, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. So the fact that God is thinking about you is a guarantee that God will bless you. Are you still there? We refer to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. It says that the path of a righteous man is like a shining sun that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Basically, he was talking about the fact that the path or the life of the righteous man is like that sun. When you wake up in the morning and the sun comes out just a little bit, and it's beginning to break. It's just the break of day. He said that then it keeps coming out and keeps coming out, and the day is becoming brighter and brighter until you have the full day. He said, so God basically is ensuring that your life keeps getting better and better and better. Can I have an amen? And better until it's perfect, until it's the way it's supposed to be. Are you with me? Psalm 37:37. He said, mark the blameless man, behold or observe the upright. He said, for the end of that man is peace. That word peace there is the word that means what? Peace. Shalom. He said peace. That means what? It means health. It means favor. It means prosperity. So God is saying the end of a perfect man is just the upright man is just perfect. He has everything that he can desire in life. He has peace. He has prosperity. He has health. And God is bragging, because when he says to you, mark that man, observe him. You hear what I'm saying? Mark him, observe him. He's saying that no matter what you see in his life now, there's a place he's going to. Are you still there, anybody? The only person that can stop that is you. If you stop cooperating and believing God, That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 27. He said, I would have perished except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27, 13, 14. He said, I would have perished unless I believed. So he didn't say the devil will stop me or whatever. No. He said the only thing that stopped me or could stop me is my unbelief. I would have perished if I didn't believe. And the essence of what I'm saying to you today, as led by God, is that you need to be certain that God is taking you somewhere. Are you hearing me? Tap your neighbor and say, I'm on my way. Say it like you have confidence. I'm on my way somewhere. Tell them, say, you will like it when I get there. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I like Isaiah 50 also, as I was speaking there. And he said, look, 50 verse 7. He said, for the Lord is my help. He said, I will not be ashamed. He said, and because God is helping me, I will not be disgraced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The certainty will come the more you rub minds with God in his word. Are you still there, anybody? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm trying much more to control my excitement so that I can do appropriately and be a little brief. Are you still here, anybody? Remember what we're saying. God needs you to get something in your mind that you're on a journey. Let me rephrase that God is taking you on a journey. God is taking you somewhere. You are his handiwork. That's what Ephesians 2 is talking about. You are his business. You are his work. He's working on you. And he has a plan. And that plan will be fulfilled. Irrespective of your circumstances, yesterday, today, it doesn't matter. God will do what he has proposed to do with your life. Are you hearing me, anybody? You know, many times we put God in the size of men. And we begin to tell God that there's a problem. You know, so when Lazarus died, they sent for Jesus. They said, look, your friend is sick. And the Bible says he delayed. But when he arrived, so they sent for him knowing that he could help when his friend was sick. But by the time he arrived, his friend was dead. And as far as they are concerned, if he's dead, that's the end of the matter. But they are putting him in the size of men. Are you hear what I'm saying? They have decided that, well, if men will be helpless when he's dead, now that he's dead, you are also helpless. And he said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, we know that eventually on that day, he will rise again. Now, he wasn't talking about on that day. He was saying now. Because God is not the same as man. Are you hear what I'm saying? With God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. You have heard that again and again and again in the last 3 days. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So don't ever take your story and conclude it when God hasn't concluded it. And guess what? It can't be concluded except it's good. Are you with me? The end of it has to be good. Until it's good, and good the way you want it to be good, the way God wants it to be good, it can't end now. Are you hearing me, anybody? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. God has more at stake in your progress, in your blessing, in your glory than you do. But because his plan is that he will use you to display the exceeding riches of his own grace. Meaning that you are his own signboard, you are his own advertisement, you are his own business card. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are who God is depending upon to show forth before people and say, this is who I am. And this is what I can do. Are you hearing me?
And so when you feel that I'm failing, know that there's a hand holding you up, because God is saying my reputation is at stake. And he's saying basically that it is part and parcel of the redemptive plan. Meaning what? Meaning that is part and parcel of why Jesus came and died. Meaning that if God decided Jesus had to die, his blood had to be shed for you to see the glory that God has in mind, then guess what? God will stop at nothing else until it's done. That's why Paul could write a letter to the Romans. And he said, look, in Romans chapter 8, he said, if God did not withhold his only begotten Son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? How will he not with him? Meaning that, hey, you know what? God, the deposit he has paid is too much. Have you ever seen those kind of deals before? Where you go and you say, well, I want to buy this car. And you say, well, the car is 1 million. I don't have 1 million. I have 600,000. They say, okay, drop the 600,000, but you must pay in 1 week. If you don't balance in 1 week, we are not returning your 600. We are keeping it. And we are keeping the car. So there's too much at stake at that point in time that you must find the balance very quickly, because you are not getting your money back. And you are not getting the car. So God is saying that the deposit I made for your glory is too high. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's too much. But you must get your health back. You must get your wealth back. You must get your protection. You must get your favor. You must get everything, because I've deposited too much on your behalf. Are you still with me? Somebody said, but he doesn't know what I'm going to. No. Listen, everybody goes through something, and everybody has been through something. And if they are not going through it, they will go through it again sometime. Okay, but what we are saying is this, or what I'm saying is this, is that no matter what you go through, keep reminding yourself, no matter how weak, how beaten, how challenged you feel your life is, remind yourself that you are not in this fight alone. Remind yourself that God has made a deposit that makes him committed to your success, to your increase, to your blessing, to your favor, to your deliverance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That no matter what happens, we are coming out on top. Hallelujah. You know, I like Psalm 139, and verses 5 and 6. And it talks about the fact that God, you know, God has taken care of my past, and he has gone into my future. You know, he took care of my past, and he goes again to prepare a future for me. Meaning that there is nothing you can be talking about from your past, from origin, from whatever order you are. I mean, that's a settled matter. You are dealing with a God who has the capacity to evade time. Make time non-existent, make time irrelevant, and fix all of the issues. Somebody say, well, is something in my family life? Hey, no. All those things don't bother God. Oh, it's my blood type. Oh, it's my DNA. Oh, it's my... It doesn't bother God. Because he goes in the past, he reaches into the past, he fixes it. Then he goes to the future, and he prepares it. Hallelujah. But one of the things you will see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because I was saying to you on Thursday, there are many things you will see. If you stay with that verse and look at it and meditate upon it, one of the things you will see is that there is an intentionality in walking with God. There's an intentionality. So we are talking about you are transformed from glory to glory, but it doesn't just happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't just happen. Somebody wrote a book. He said, things don't just happen. Things are made to happen. And what are you supposed to do? Just walk with God. Walk with God. Let me repeat myself. Walk with God. But what does walking with God entail? 2 Corinthians, in the light of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, we all, go to the Amplified Version. Let's look at it very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, so that we get what I'm saying. Are you still here? I said, are you here? Are you awake? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, and the Amplified Version. He says, all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So basically, it's telling us that there is something we do. So we walk with God. But how do we walk with God? We walk with God in His Word. We behold the glory of God. So we have a responsibility in that walk with God to seek out God's Word, to look at God's Word, to hear God's Word, to meditate upon God's Word, to stay with God's Word. And as we do that, He said the Spirit of God works the transformation. He uses that Word to work the transformation that is required. It happens to us. Every time you sit with God's Word, just like you are doing now, something is changing. Something is happening. You may not see it. You may not feel it, but something is happening. Every time you sit in your room by yourself and you open the Bible and you are beholding the glory of God as in the Word of God, something is happening. Your life is being transformed. You as a person are being transformed. Your situation is being transformed. You may not see it. You may not know it. You may, but it's happening. Can I hear you say it's happening? You know, Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower, which I mean, according to him, was the most important parable. He said, because if you don't understand this one, how will you understand all parables? So, and in that parable, he was describing and telling people the principles of how the kingdom works. And he said, basically, the kingdom works by God's word. That's how it works. But one of the things I like, you know, when he then told other parables, you know, Mark chapter 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13, he told other parables. And I did a teaching recently, parables and principles, because that chapter in particular, I think he spent time, all the parables he was teaching in Mark chapter 4, he kept telling them, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. Meaning these are the principles of that kingdom. These are the things that make the kingdom work. If you have been moved, according to the Bible, and the Bible says that you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son, there's a responsibility upon you to learn. Can I hear you say to learn? To learn what are the principles of this kingdom. How does it work? You gain admission into the university. You have to have an orientation. How do things work? What do they expect of me? Are they going to come and call me for class in the morning? Am I supposed to go to class? Where am I supposed to go to class? You have to learn what are the principles. Mark chapter 4, he kept telling them parables. And he said, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And one of the ones he told them, he said, the kingdom of God is like a man. I think Mark chapter 4, 26, 29. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who planted seed in the ground. Can I hear you say plant seed? He said, then he sleeps at night, rises by day, and he grows up. He doesn't know how. He said, but he grows up first. You know, he grows up in stages. You first have the blade, then the hair, then the full grain. He said, but he plants the seed, he goes to bed, he wakes up, and the seed is growing. He said, he does not know how. What he actually said in there was that the Greek word speaks something. It's a Greek word that speaks about automatic. Automatic. Can I hear it? Automatic. So we're talking operation automatic now. Are you hearing me? Let's guess. Automatic. Sharp, sharp, fast, fast. Are you hearing me? And what he's saying to you is this: your responsibility is plant the seed. That seed will produce. That seed will produce. That seed will produce. It's automatic. Can you hear what I'm saying? How the seed produces, you don't know how. He said, but when you plant that seed in your heart, it produces. As you are planting the seed and saying to yourself, he said that if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8, 11, dwells within me, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to my mortal body. When you are planting that seed in your heart, it is producing health. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may not know how. You may not feel anything, but something is happening. Are you still with me, anybody? You know, many years ago, I went and I got, I was working. I wanted to do a postgraduate program in UI. And I went to, they asked me to do medicals. So I went and I did an x-ray. And the x-ray, they saw I had TB, tuberculosis. And when I went to collect the results, I worked in a hospital. I went to the radiology department to collect the results. And the lady at the reception said, "Doctor, your result is not here," because they do what you call reporting by the doctor in charge. He said, "Your result is not with us." I said, "Why?" He said, "The consultant wants to see you. That she says, when you come, that we shouldn't give you your own, that she's keeping it, that you must see her by all means." So I went to see her. And she sat me down and said to me, "Look, doctor, your x-ray is bad. Said you have TB. I said, "Oh, okay. You know, and said, "So you need to go get treated, sort it out." I worked in a newborn unit, you know, newborn children. And I went, I saw my boss, and I said, "Look, this is what I was told. This is the result." She looked at the thing, read it, looked at me. She said, "Doing you?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You don't have anything, because you that I'm seeing, you don't have anything. Maybe you work with me every day. There's nothing wrong with you." I said, "Me too, I don't feel there's something wrong with me." I said, "But this is the result." She said, "Ah, so." She said, "Well, I don't believe. I don't know what this is, you know." But I kept it, and I started speaking God's word. Are you hearing me? I started taking God's word, and I was declaring God's word. Over it. And then I traveled. I went to another postgraduate program about a year later. And at the airport, they stopped me, and they said, "Do you have an x-ray?" I didn't have any. They said, "Well, step aside and see the medical people." So I saw them. They took an x-ray. And the medical person looked at me and said, "Well, I'll have to refer you to a doctor." And they referred me. So I went to a hospital. I'm cutting the long story short. You know, and the first doctor saw me, asked all kinds of questions, negative. Nothing was wrong with me. She said, "Well, I have to send you to a specialist." So he sent me to a specialist. I saw the specialist, and the guy examined me, you know, so he checked, listened to my chest, did everything. And then the guy looked at, the x-ray was on the wall. He was looking at it. Then he looked at me. He said, "Doctor," he said, "if it was somebody that reported to me that this x-ray belongs to you, I will tell them it's a lie. Because I'm examining you, I'm listening and all that." He said, "This x-ray is very bad." He said, "But you are very good." He said, "There's nothing wrong with you. I've checked everything I can check. I can't find anything." He said, "But this x-ray is saying otherwise." Me, I have kept on confessing God's word. He said, "Do you cough?" I said, "I'm not coughing." He said, "Are you sweating?" I said, "I don't sweat at night." He said, "Do you lose weight?" I said, "I'm not losing weight. I'm gaining weight." So I was a medical confusion. The guy didn't know what to do. He said, "Well, we will need sputum from you." I said, "I don't know how we give you." I said, "Because I don't have any. I'm not coughing anything." He said, "Okay, then we have to send you for bronchoscopy. So they have to put me under anesthesia and pass pipe down so that we can get fluid from your lungs and test." So they took me, put me under anesthesia. You know, I slept off, and they passed it in, took the fluid they wanted, sent it for testing. And the result came back inconclusive. I mean, they still didn't see anything. Me, I was speaking God's word. I'm talking about the word produces. The word produces. The word produces. So the word was working. The picture had not changed, but the word was working. So the word was confusing them. I was gaining weight. If you saw those pictures, I was hoping you didn't see them. But if you saw those pictures earlier, I was like this. But that year, I began to gain weight. And I was supposed to be losing weight, in fact. You know, so the guy looked at me. And he said, "Okay, you know what?" He said, "You're a doctor." I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, so if I was you, this is what I will do." He said, "I will take the drugs. Because the drugs have serious side effects." Are you hearing what I'm saying? The drugs are very bad. So in fact, as a matter of fact, public health-wise, at a point in time, they created something. But anybody with TB, you have to take the drug in front of the nurse. So you come to the hospital for, how long is it? Is it two weeks or 1 month? Then, the dot therapy. The first few months. The first 2 months. You have to come every day, and then the nurse will give you tablets, then they will give you water, then you will put it, then you swallow it, then you say, "Ha!" You say, "Ha!" The nurse will look and say, "Huh, you swallowed it." Because the side effect of the drug will make people not to comply with it, even if they wanted to at first. Had bad side effects. So the guy said, "Look, if I was you, you know, you are a doctor." I said, "Yeah." He said, "If I was you, I will take the drugs." He said, "Will you take the drugs?" I said, "I will take the drugs." He said, you are sure? I said, no, I'll take the drugs. If I were, I won't tell you that. I said, but I will take the drugs. You know, and I knew all of his worries. That's why he said to me, you're a doctor. So I said, no, don't worry, I will take the drugs. And I looked again in Mark 16. And the Bible says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will do all kinds of things, including if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So I said, this thing can't hurt me. All of the side effects will not do anything to me. This thing, it will be vitamin, it will work well in my body, it will cure any germs, but it's not going to give me any side effects that are bad. I was going to school. I took the drug religiously every day as prescribed, nothing, not one side effect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Until I was let go after 6 months. I'm talking about the word produces. He said he puts the word in, he drops the seed in, he goes to bed, and he wakes up, and the seed is producing. He doesn't know how. It produces automatically. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is talking about. The fact that when we are looking in God's word, as we look at it, that's the intentionality of walking with God. But as you walk with God, that walk demands that you will spend time with Him, interact with Him, look in God's word, look at what He's saying, and the Holy Ghost will come and brood upon that word. Are you hearing me? You know, I was enjoying Sister's testimony. As she was talking about how God was bringing back the word, how the Holy Ghost was bringing back the word, how the Holy Ghost was bringing back the word, and that word was working. I was enjoying it because that's the combination that brings about transformation. In John chapter 16, verse 13, he was talking about when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things that are yet to come. He said, and he will not speak of himself, but it's the things that he has said he will declare to you. He said, he will take of what is mine and show it to you. Basically, remember, Jesus is called the Word. He said he will take the Word, he will take the Word, he will magnify the Word, and he will show it to you. Hallelujah. So, you give God something to walk with. That's the walking with God we are talking about. So, when Abraham was walking with God, he was walking with God. What was he walking with? God said, Abraham, get up. He said, leave your father's house. Leave everywhere. Leave this, leave that. He said, I will bless you. And Abraham was walking with that blessing. And I said the other day that in so much as when his nephew was kidnapped, Abraham, he was kidnapped by nations, armies of nations. Abraham went with his household to fight them. And took them back. And when the king met him and said, take all the goods, take all the every good they have taken, but give me back the people. Abraham said, I'll give you everything back. He said, because I've lifted my hand to God to say that no man will say that I made Abraham richer. He was saying, I am going somewhere. And when I get there, my testimony will be clear. That the only way I could have reached where I reached is by God. The psalmist was speaking in Psalm 71, verse 7. He said, I am as a wonder to many. He said, but you, O Lord, are my secret. I am as a wonder to many. They don't understand. How is he like this? How come that happened? How come? You know, one day somebody sat me down. He came. He was my senior in med school. And he is based in North America. So we met at a party and he was talking to me. He's a believer. And he said, look, tell me, some of these things that you have done, you know, even in the circle, I said, tell me, how come, how did you get this, how did you get that? I said, okay, I know that it is Christianese to say that it's by the grace of God. I said, but honestly, it is by the grace of God. I said, because many of those things, I could not have worked them out by myself. Oh, somebody say, hey, you need to have a 5-year vision, have a 10-year vision. I don't have it. But I have a God vision. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying those things are bad, but Proverbs 29:18 tells me what is even more important. It said, unless the people have a vision, unless the people have God's revelation, they run helter-skelter. So there has to be a God vision. And that's all. I said, I have a God vision. I'm following God. I'm doing what He says to do. I said, so even when I got to Lagos, and they said, come and do this, come and do that, I said, I could not have become anything in some of those groups. I said, because I don't know them. I didn't grow up in Lagos. I'm born and bred in Ibadan. I went to school in Ibadan. All the schools I went is in Ibadan. I don't know anybody. I said, but God decided, this is the man, and I'll put him in charge here. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Please tap your neighbor and say, you must walk with God. And like I referred to the other time, Abraham was walking with God. God was blessing him. Blessing him in so much that his household could fight hermits. But then even along the line, Abraham was tired himself. God has said some things to him that were not coming to pass, or so it seemed. And God showed up in Genesis 17 and he said to Abraham, he said, walk thou before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and your descendants forever. Just walk before me. If you walk before me, then in fact, we would have read the whole chapter. You will see how God works. He said, just walk before me and be perfect, and you will see what I will do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, and for that thing that you think is so big, he said, by this time next year, you will have Isaac. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The second thing, when you start looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, is that you see that God said He'll move you from glory to glory. That means that, and I refer to Mark chapter 4, He said first the blade, then the hair, then the full blade in the hair. I mean, the full corn. And then at that time, you jump and you say what? The harvest is ripe, and everybody's screaming. You know, one of the things I was thinking about, thank God I was blessed by the stories, the testimonies. But one of the things I was thinking about is that many of the people, many of you are knowing them now. You know, you didn't know them 25 years ago. You didn't know them 29 years ago. Now you are looking at them and say, if only God can just bless me like Pastor Funke, I reckon. Professor Fayemu. If only God can bless me like Professor Fayemu. But you didn't know Professor Fayemu 30 years ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You didn't know that she went through phases. You didn't know that God was taking her through one phase to another phase to another phase to another phase, and it was just increasing the glory and increasing the glory and increasing the glory. So there's no microwave glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where you pop it in and it pops out in 3 minutes and it's all done and ready. God will take you through steps. God will take you through phases. Can I have an amen? Enjoy the process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Enjoy the process. I'm trying to move a little faster. Enjoy the process, because what God is doing with that process is ensuring that when you get to the ultimate, you will not be destroyed by the blessings. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that a fool is destroyed by his prosperity. So a fool's prosperity, just what you thought to be a blessing, will destroy some people. I preached a message many years ago here. I called it, Can You Survive Success? I'm sure you can find it in the archives somewhere. Can you survive success? And I said success sometimes is more dangerous than failure. It's more dangerous than the difficulty. And some people get the success, and that is the beginning of their problems. Are you hearing me? I never forget my pastor sharing sometime, and he talks about the testimony of a couple where the lady told him and said, Pastor, I wish we were poor. She said, because when we were poor, we were happy. My husband and I, we had ourselves. We loved ourselves. We spent time together. We fellowship together. We did everything together. We were a real loving couple. He said, but as money came, while I came, he's out there, a girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, so I wish we were poor. Are you hearing me? But because a fool's prosperity will destroy him. And that's why God does phase in phases. Left to all of you, you want to be everything yesterday. Including me, I want to become. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God has a plan. Can I hear you say God has a plan? In fact, God has a detailed plan. Because I've changed my mind. I used to just say God has a plan. Now I say he has a detailed plan. Because Psalm 139 tells me that before I was born, all of the days of my life were written in his book. That's detailed. That's meticulous. That's somebody who pays attention to details. He said he wrote, not just me, yours also. What kind of book does he have? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All of the days were written. So he wrote it there, 7th of July. This is what will happen in 2025. He wrote it there, 8th of July. This is what he will do 2025. 9th of July, 2025. In the morning he will do this. By so-so time he will do this. By so-so time he will do this. But isn't that the same thing that we hear from Jesus when he says that the sparrow can fall, but it doesn't fall without God's knowledge? He said, the hairs of your own head are numbered. Don't you think you are more precious to God than the birds? And he said, the hairs of your head are numbered. Not that we know the number. He said, no, he knows the number. So every time you have gone to Pomi for Baba, God can tell you which number fell. That was hair number 1020 that just got cut. It's detailed. Can I hear you say it's detailed? Say it again. Say it's detailed. Where my life is concerned. So God walks in phases. And if you look in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, he said he did not take them through the way of the Philistines. So when he brought the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, he could take them through the land of the Philistines to get to Canaan. He said he didn't do it. He didn't do it. God decided, no, it's not good for them. Although that was shorter, the Bible says, although that was shorter. So he decided, no, I won't take them through that. He said, lest they see war. And they turn back. So they are not ready for the battles. They are not ready for the things they will face. If I take them in that direction now and get them to the place where they are going, or try to get them where they are supposed to be too quickly, they will turn back. They will fail. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They won't get it. Some people even get little prosperity and they feel that they have arrived. I've had cause to tell one or two people and say, there's nothing you have become that we haven't seen before. There's nothing we haven't seen before. So why do you think that you have arrived? Why are you bragging to us? Who are you? You haven't arrived anywhere. And too often, people have not even reached half of what God has for them. Are you with me? He said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22, he said he also was taken. He said, I will not chase out the inhabitants of the land all at once, lest the wild animals become too many for you to deal with. So again, lest you are not able to fight and stand your ground when you are supposed to be able to do so. He expects you to build, to be transformed, your life to be transfigured, for you to become who he wants you to be. Then you can handle the weight of the glory when it comes upon your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've had somebody brag to me, oh, you know, we have a senator in our church. I said, before or after he became senator? He said, no, he's senator in our church. I said, does he still come to your church after he became senator? Do you still see him? Does your pastor, can your pastor call him and the phone will ring and he will pick it up and say, that's my pastor calling? Or now he's very busy, they're having meetings. Now he's busy. Now he's away. I'm gone on this meeting. I'm gone on that meeting. You have to be careful about these things, because people are getting where God didn't plan for them to go, because they are short-circuiting and trying to jump the faces. They don't understand that the face is part of the plan, because God doesn't just want to bring you to the place of glory. He wants to sustain you there. Somebody was telling me recently about the leadership of an institution. Christians. And I said to him, I said, this is heartbreaking. This kind of thing you are telling me is heartbreaking. I said, and in fact, the Christians have left the institution. I've heard more heartbreaking stuff about them than the unbelievers. And why? Because God wants us prepared. He said, look, everything, health, wealth, everything. That's what glory is all about. Everything that God is and God has. But he doesn't want those things to have you. He wants you to always remember that what is it you have that you did not receive. Are you with me? That's why he spoke in 3 John and verse 2. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper as your soul prospers." The indication or implication there is that I want the prosperity to be commensurate. That's big grammar. Eh? I want the prosperity to be going pari passu. That's another big grammar. I'm remembering my teachers in school. I want the prosperity to go hand in hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want the prosperity to follow the prosperity of your soul. I want you to be changed. Be like God. And as you become like God, I want things to improve and get better and get better and get better for you, so that you will get to where God is taking you to and you will not be destroyed. Are you hearing me? So when he says we are transfigured from glory to glory, he's talking about phases. Can I hear you say phases? So God is going to take us through steps. It won't all happen at once. So I wish maybe sometime we will hear some of the people tell stories, who they were. I think so one or two times I've been there when Pastor NY was telling them stories in Lagos. And he would tell them about their dad soon. Is it 180K? 180B. My mother had 180K. When we were growing up in Challenge, she had that soon, 180K. The number plate is almost coming to my mind now. But so you were using that soon, 180B. Brown. Yellow. Yeah, brown is yellow. It's very popular in this environment. There are a few people who know the car. You know, there are cars that you ride and they ride you. It's turn by turn. And he was telling them how, you know, in fact, one of his stories he told, he said, when they started, and everybody said we must wear seat belts, the car didn't have belts. He didn't have seat belts. So he took scarf. He took scarf and tied it there, and he would put his scarf here. So that means I'm wearing belt now. I mean, so you look at him now, say, ah, see, why? Say, how is car? My friend, didn't have that car before. In case you didn't know. Are you hear what I'm saying? He didn't have it before. When he was getting married, it was by faith. Eh? So he was telling them stories. So I had to speak some time after that, and I said, I'm happy that he's telling you those stories. I'm happy that he's telling you, because you would not believe. You just meet him now. You say, and he's not even arrived yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you look at him and say, I wish my life was like, hey, my friend, be careful. God don't know where he's coming from. Are you still there? You know, who was saying that? Zabimbo said, these people, is this Zabimbo? He started to look. He said, these people are rich. When I got married, I married as a copper. Okay, my wife was a copper, I was a copper. So we were married on Alawi. So we thank the federal government of Nigeria. You know, Alawi was our sustainers. And once, twice, my in-laws came, they bring food. So one day, they saw my face. I looked like this. That, you need to stop this. And my mother-in-law knelt and said, please. I'm not saying that you cannot feed our daughter. I'm not saying that she's starving. But this is how my mother used to give us gifts. Please accept the gift from us. Please accept. Because, there were days I would get, and my mother said, there's no food. I said, what do you mean by there's no food? She said, the meat has finished in the pot. I said, that's not food. That's meat. There's still food. So you mean there's rice? There's stew? But there's no meat? I said, that's food. That is still food. Meat is not food. It's just meat. So we eat what there is. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. God takes you through phases. Are you still with me? Let me try to wrap it up. The good thing about it is this. Is that God always has more. God's glory is inexhaustible. If whatever you have now, you are not happy with, you don't think is the best of God, you are right. God has more. He wants you. I've said many things you need to keep in mind. He wants you to just walk with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. But He will give you more. One of the scriptures that blessed me a lot, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, actually, David was being rebuked. David had gone, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan came to him and was delivering God's message to him. And he said to him about verse 7 or verse 8, he was telling him, he said, look, God said that I took you you know, I took you, I gave you your master's kingdom. That is, you are a nobody. You are not from the lineage of kings. You are a nobody. You don't deserve where you are. And I gave you your master's kingdom. I gave you his house. I gave you everything. He said, and if it had not been enough, that thing hit me hard. He said, if it had not been enough, I would have given you more. Why did you have to go outside of me and commit sin? He said, if it had not been enough, I am capable. Can I hear you say God is capable? Remember, we're reading Psalm 112 or 115 verse 12 earlier. Verse 14 says what? He said, well, the Lord will increase you more and more. You and your children. Let's wrap it up on Psalm 84. Let's stand on our feet. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. It's another summary of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did you get anything this morning? Psalm 84. And we look at verse 7. Well, let's study from verse 5. He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That is, they're not focused here. His heart is set on pilgrimage. He's thinking beyond here. He's thinking about God. Remember Colossians, the Bible says that if you are raised to be with him, set your mind on things above, not on things beneath. So set your mind on God. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage? He said, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Verse 7 is my emphasis. He said, they go from what? Strength to strength. Why? Remember, semicolon is there again. Why do they go from strength to strength? He said, each one appears before God in Zion. So their appearing before God takes them from strength to strength to strength to strength. So I said, be certain of the glory. Be certain of God's glory in your life. God has a plan. That plan must come to pass. He said, I'm the Lord who declares the end from the beginning. Saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all of my will. He wants you to be certain. But you have to walk with him. You have to be deliberate. He said he continued to look in the word of God and he was beholding the glory of God. You have to be deliberate. You have to be intentional. Serve God with intentionality. The Bible was talking about the people that came out of Egypt. And he said, Pastor Funke was referring to it earlier. They said, we were like grasshoppers when they went to spy the land. He said, but there were two people, Caleb and Joshua, who came and said, no. That place is for us, as God said. He said, and if God is pleased with us, those people will be bread for us. They'll be like bread. As long as God is pleased with us, it doesn't matter the opposition. And eventually, the Bible says that it's those two that made it in. He said, why? He said, because they wholly, 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 completely, completely followed the Lord their God. So you have to be intentional, you have to be deliberate, you have to be committed to God's word. And say, look, this word is my life. Deuteronomy 32:47. He said, now you need to pay attention to that word. He said, for it is your life. He said, when you look at that word, it is not a futile thing. It's not a futile thing. It's not a futile thing. It's not a futile thing means it's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. When I am going to church, a booster service, like Mrs. Gain was saying the other day, I was coming Sunday. I was coming booster service. When you are going? I mean, I said, hey, what look against me? And then they say prayer meeting again. They say, you are going again? How many times will you go? In 1 week. Please go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, because when you are paying attention to that word, it is not a futile thing. He said, because it's your life. That's your life. Are you hearing me? So be intentional. And then know that God will take you through phases. It doesn't matter what the phases look like. It doesn't matter how slow it seems. The real thing you need to know is that it's sure. You need to know it's sure. You need to know that when you are walking with God, he said a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. He will rise again. So there's no writing him off. He said, don't laugh at me, my enemy. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Don't laugh yet and say, you see this life. He said, it's not the end. In darkness, God will shine. It will be a light to me. Because it doesn't end until it ends the way God planned it to end. And remember that there is always more. more glory. It transforms us from glory to glory to glory to glory. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning. What is He saying to you? I want more of you.